Okay, Sandra always starts off and she usually says microphone check, but I think I'm just going to say, hey guys.
Hey.
So it's Sandra and I here today and we have a special guest. And those of you that follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and all of our other social media, you know that we have Dozy Poetic Styles in the studio and he seems to be the neighborhood hope dealer.
And yeah. Kind of a big deal.
IG's
popping.
I'm okay. I do all right. So thanks for the introduction, though. We're
going to talk to him and feel him out for a little bit, and then we're going to give you guys a chance to get some of your questions answered that you submitted to us today. So let's jump right into it. First, for me, I really want to know, how did you get started doing this? You know, as a man, it's very rare for a male to feel like he can speak for a woman or know what we're thinking. So I'm just curious, how did this gift come about?
How did it come about? I like writing, right? So I've been playing with words for a long time. But as far as speaking from a female's perspective, it was inspired by a song. It was a J. Cole song. I can't remember what song it was, but it was inspired by a song. And it made me write a poem, like completely from a woman's perspective. And I was never going to rehearse it. And one day I went to like an open mic and I got forced on stage and I rehearsed it. It's one of those like Cinderella stories. And then I got forced on stage by one of my homeboys. And then I did the poem and like they went crazy. And I was like, oh my goodness, I got something. And you know, I just ran. I never looked back.
So, I mean, for people who don't know who you are, you are an Instagram star. You have how many followers on Instagram?
I'm not counting.
You're not
about 232,000.
Ooh, okay. You're an author.
I am.
You're a poet.
I am that too.
And what else is part of your?
I'm getting into songwriting. All genres really. So yeah, that's what I'm working on now. I'm trying to get into that.
So where do you typically find the inspiration for these poems? Because I've listened to quite a few of them, mm-hmm. and they come from very broad spectrums. Some of them can come from like a single woman's perspective, some come from a married woman's perspective, some come from a man's perspective. Mm-hmm. Where do you get the inspiration?
They just come to me. Like a lot of the poems just come to me random, like in the shower or something, and I just start talking to myself and it just becomes a poem. So nothing really triggers like inspiration as far as the topic of what the poem is going to be about. They just come to me at random moments.
So it's not like past relationships?
Oh, nah. I would have to be in a lot of relationships to come up with these 20 poems. But nah, it's not past relationships. I think at first it started like that. At first it was like it was like something that probably happened to me. I can't remember exactly.
I mean, there's no poems about an ex, and ex is like, no, you talking
my, like
about
my
me?
First, I think my first like two poems were like about an ex, or not even an ex. Probably I think it was just like a girl I liked or something like that. But I don't know. It became something else. Like, I mean, how long can that last? You know, a poem. But how many? You know, I haven't been in that many relationships too. Be able to come up with that much material.
Okay, so I personally would like for you to dissect one. So okay. The last one that I saw on your page was called Fuck Nigga? Fuck Boy?
Fuck Boy.
Fuck yeah, Boy.
That caught my attention.
Fuck Boy. Wait, you sure?
Is that not what it was called?
What was it? No, a lot of titles got Fuck Nigga, Fuck Boy in them. I don't know.
Can we spit, like, so for our listeners, our people listening to our podcast, can you spit just a little bit of one of your poems so people
can
get an understanding of,
and then
like,
we'll dissect it.
Of who Poetic Styles is.
I record poems I come up with poems so fast, I rarely retain them, but I think I got one. The last time was supposed to be the last time, so save it. I can't stand the fact you never had plans on changing. You stood there and consoled me, told me you never lie again. But here we are. You're the reason these tears in my eyes again. What I do to deserve this, especially as loyal as I have been. I always put you first. There was nobody you weren't higher than. I should have been left, but I stayed there and I kept fighting, y'all. And all I did was get hurt by the same one I was fighting for. The worst part of it is part of me still wants to be part of this because I put my heart in it and I feel like I've come too far to quit.
I like it.
I'm going to stop right there, though.
That's good. I mean, so you started writing books, right?
Yeah.
From your poems. Mm-hmm. And what's your latest book?
What She Still Feels, which is a sequel to the first one, What She Feels.
And explain how you, as a man, can speak as for a woman.
I think everybody feels, right? Like, everybody has emotions. Hold up. I want to spit this gum out.
Excuse not a
problem. Excuse me, live. Because I want y'all to hear
live.
Me clear. Excuse
we
me,
we are
live.
Keeping it real on this podcast. There's a garbage can right there. Yep. Okay.
Let's get back to it. I knew that gum was going to get in the way. Okay. All right. So, what was the question again?
How do you, as a man, feel that you could speak for
a woman, right? Yeah. Well, I think everybody has emotions, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, women have been trained to embrace those emotions, and men have been trained to act like they don't exist. So I feel like if men just acted like they felt, they would be able to relate to a lot of my poems. Like, we all feel the same thing. It's just that men want to pretend that they don't, because that's what society has trained us to do. So ultimately, most of my poems can be applied to both people.
So do you feel like you're able to tap into a deeper part of your emotional self? Like,
I think it's that. Yeah, I think it's a mixture of that and just, I've been doing it so long. Like, I've been, you do something long enough, you become great at it. And I think, starting out, I kind of had a gift with just being able to tap into emotions and see things from different perspectives. Now it's to a point I've just been doing it long enough that it has, it's just something that I'm just great at.
So a lot of your poems do have the word F boy, fuck boy, whatever you want to.
Yeah, that's trending right now.
Yeah, it's trending. And it was just trending on the recent episode of Insecure, uh-huh. Right? She told him, you're a fuck boy, but you try to act like you a nice guy, right? And she hung up on him. So please define what
a fuck boy is.
Yes.
Or what a fuck boy is. I think a fuck boy is probably, I would say somebody who who leads you on to believe that it's one thing when it's not. That'd be like my standard definition for a fuckboy.
I think I agree with that definition. I know a lot of fuckboys in my life.
Yeah.
Well, in my previous life.
Yeah, because I don't think most women would have a problem if a guy tells you up front, like, yo, this is what I'm ready to give, and this is what I'm not going to do, and this is what it's going to be, and this is what it's not going to be.
Because then you have the decision, the option. You can make the decision on
absolutely.
Your own.
So, that's one thing versus you telling somebody, yo, I'm promising you forever, but you had no intention of keeping that promise. Now, if you had intentions of keeping that promise, that's a gray area that we have to discuss. But if you had no intention of keeping that promise from the beginning, then, you're just playing with people's emotions.
So do people grow out of being?
I think so, yes. Just like I feel like girls grow out of that stage where they're being promiscuous. Mm-hmm. I think guys also can grow out of being fuckboys, but it happens on a guy's time. Like, it's called growing up. But some people never grow up, though. They just get older.
I have a personal question for you, and you can choose not to answer it. However,
I
feel like someone that is able to tap that deeply into their emotional side and clearly understand what a woman is feeling when men typically pretend not to, mm-hmm. has got to be the world's greatest boyfriend. But then there's always that theory of the teacher who can't teach, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you in a relationship?
I'm not currently in a relationship. I'm gonna say this, right? So I guess I have a cheat code to being a boyfriend. So I can be a good boyfriend. I'm capable of being a good boyfriend because obviously I understand how women feel. But I'm not perfect. I feel like because I write these poems, people expect me to be this perfect person. Like, I'm still human. I still have flaws. I still have my own demons and stuff like that. But when it comes to the little basic stuff, I know better. You know what I mean? And honestly, I think a lot of people know better. Even the people who pretend it, the typical guy, he knows better. He knows when he's lying, he knows when he's cheating, he knows when he's doing something that could potentially hurt the woman he quote-unquote loves. So it's not always about knowing better, because a lot of people know better. But doing it is a totally different thing.
Were you ever a fuckboy?
By the definition that we just gave, no. I don't believe I ever was. I tell people what it is and what it isn't.
So you're direct.
I'm very blunt, extremely blunt.
So no exes have stories about you out there, man.
I'm pretty popular in DMV. People had stories about me. They'll be out by now. You know what I mean? They'll be out. Somebody be like, yo, that nigga, you're not, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty... I'm pretty okay.
Do you feel like being that transparent works for you? Like telling a woman up front, yeah, I'm just trying to have sex.
I never say, look, I'm just trying to have sex, because often I don't meet women I'm just trying to have sex with.
Okay.
I'm past the stage where I'm just meeting a girl like, yo, I just want to have sex with her. Like, when I meet women now, it's like, well, when I meet women that I'm entertaining now, it's like, it has to be something more than I was just trying to have sex with her.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying that there are women that I haven't run into that it was just sex, but it sometimes things just become that, and you never necessarily were meeting them for that. You know what I mean?
I do.
So how do people, like, in this day and age deal with the whole social media and dating?
Social media and dating. It's a gift and a curse with dating, isn't it? So I have this thing that I feel like social media is like, well, I feel like social media doesn't help with the dating, right? Mm-hmm. Because people now have this false sense of having so many options. So, like, you get in a fight with your significant other, and you're like, you think those likes mean all these people are worth it. Like, you go on, you think you can go on Instagram and just find another like that. It's like, oh, I don't care. She's mad. I'll just go look at this girl who liked my picture. I'm sure she wants me. But, yeah, there are plenty of fish in the sea, but not all of them are worth catching. You know what I mean? You can't be so willing to sacrifice somebody you love because somebody likes your pic. So now you think that girl's better than what you have right in front of you. And I think that's what social media does. It gives everybody this false sense
more
of options.
Yeah.
So I think that is a perfect way to segue into some questions, because it's right on topic with one question that we got. Are we okay with that?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So one particular question, and we're going to do them all anonymous. I promised all of our followers that we wouldn't say who they were. But one was, how often do you feel like a significant other should post their spouse on social media? Right. It could be male, female, female, male.
I think as much as you want. I think each relationship is, like, take me for instance, right? I've been in a couple of relationships. One of them, I tried the whole posting. I'm gonna go to this meme that I saw. It just reminded me of. I tried the whole posting significant other things, and sometimes it doesn't always work, because Instagram, like, here's the thing about Instagram and couples and stuff. Everybody wants to be the celebrity couple, right? Everyone wants to pretend they're the celebrity couple. Oh, I'm posting these fly pics with my girl, blah, blah, blah. But what that does, that it opens the door for everybody to have something to say about your relationship. Like, it just, that's just what it does. And then if you guys don't work out, then what? You delete those pictures and start posting the next person. That doesn't work out, you delete those pictures, start posting an expert. It just looks messy. It can get messy. Mm-hmm. And especially in this generation where people fall in love at hello. Everybody's like so in love with somebody they just met last week. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many times you get on Instagram and you see a chick, she's with a new dude and she's so in love, and you're like, you were just in love with Greg last month. You know what I mean? So it's like, it can get messy, so you gotta be careful. I just feel like you can wait on that stuff. Like, you can wait on sharing your significant other with the world. Let y'all get to a certain place first. You know what I mean? Where you know, like, this is something solid. This is something that's, this is one of those forever things, you know, other than every time you meet somebody, oh, my new boo. Oh, and then everyone's going to have something to say, especially when it's just always that.
And everybody got a past. So you were like, before we turned on the mics, you were like, I feel like I'm going to get attacked.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, attacked?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I was joking, though. I'm okay with getting attacked.
I was like, you know, listen, I mean, what do you mean the claws are going to come out? Like, what have people, are people upset that they feel that you're speaking for women? I mean, where does you feel like you need to be on defense about?
Nothing. I was joking about that. Okay. I was just saying that because it was all girls and, you know, I just felt like it was, I don't know. But at a point when I first started, guys were like, yo, why he talking for them? Now, first of all, mind you, nobody cared when I started, like, when I started writing poems. Poems wasn't cool. Like, that was corny. And then I started, you know, writing poems or whatever, and everybody started watching and listening, and all of a sudden, guys wanted to have their input in it. And this was never, I wasn't writing poems for guys. I was writing poems for women. So what do I care how you feel about it? You feel me? But then I guess it just got so big, and then they started to want, I guess, their how they feel to be addressed as well, which is understandable. And every once in a while, I do try to, you know, speak for them. It happens very few and far between, I know. But majority of my fan base are women. And when I started this, that's who I was trying to help. So I can't switch it up because now guys feel like, oh, involve us too, when they never really...
So they get offended when you call them an F-boy or you have your...
Only fuckboys get offended when I talk about fuckboys, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not a fuckboy, it doesn't apply to you. Keep scrolling.
Mm-hmm. If the shoe fits.
You know, get the outfit to match. But I don't understand why anybody would be mad if I'm talking about fuckboys and you know you're not a fuckboy. I mean, if you are a fuckboy, just embrace it. Like, you know, like I said, everybody goes through that stage. I feel like I've been there before. Like, nah, I probably haven't. I'm really upfront. Like, I really am. I'm upfront. I tell people what it is and what it ain't. And if I'm not really feeling you, you can tell. Like, you can tell. And I feel like a lot of women can tell when a guy is not, you know, that into you. When he's really just not that into you, you can tell. Like, by the amount of time he wants to spend with you, you can tell. Like, the signs are there. Sometimes.
So what are the signs? Because some girls are really oblivious. Some girls.
The signs of what? If he's into you or
yeah,
not?
If he's into you or not.
The time he spends. The amount of time he wants to see you, just little things that he does. I don't know. I can't really like nitpick every little thing that a guy would do if he's into you, but I just feel like I guess it comes down to time and effort. So the amount of time he's willing to invest and the amount of effort he's willing to invest in you speaks to what you mean to him, like where he holds you.
What makes you different than like Steve Harvey and all these other people who have come out with relationships speaking for women and telling women? I mean, because some guys think you're breaking the guy code, right?
Right.
And what makes you different than any of these other people?
Well, most poets I see on Instagram, their poems are more so like fairy tales. Their poems are the happy ending. Mm-hmm. My poem is bridging that gap between your last relationship and your heartbreak and moving on. So I think that's the first thing that makes me different. It's like, I know everybody's not happy right now. Everybody's not in this fairy tale relationship where everything is perfect, but I can guarantee you everybody has been through something. Even if you're not in it now, you've been through that pain. You can relate to probably any poem that you see on my page because everyone's been there. Even if you're not there right now, you've been there, but everyone's not happy. So
I think most people that I see on Instagram mm-hmm. who are posting, you know, us, team us, this is my bae, yeah. This is what we doing, we jet sitting here. That usually, that to me, is some bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's another problem I have with people fronting for Instagram as far as, like, with their significant other. Like, you're trying to convince people that you're happy.
Yes.
Like, you're spending so much time trying to convince all of Instagram how happy you are in your relationship. You don't have to convince people of that.
I think that there are those people that just post it because that's their life and it just is what it is.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, but then I do think that there are those people that really spend a lot of time, like you said, trying to convince.
They're trying to convince people. Yeah. They're trying to convince this girl to stay out of his DM or he's mine or she's mine. Like everyone's mm-hmm. like fighting everyone else on Instagram. Like you be reading these captions. I'd be like, who are y'all mad at? Like everybody, like every caption is like a fake flexing caption or can I curse on this?
Yes.
Like,
man, like I'm shitting on this person or like I'm like
haters, who's this?
Yeah, haters this. Like everybody is like this celebrity couple that everyone's hating on or so mad at. Like, why y'all so angry? I want somebody to put a caption up. This is my caption challenge. For your next 10 pictures, post some captions with like that are just humble. You're not mad at nobody, you're not fake shitting on nobody, just a humble caption that just says, hey, I'm enjoying my day. Like just a humble caption. Because every caption is like you stunting on. Like, why? Who are you so mad at? Who are y'all fighting on Instagram on every caption? I don't understand it.
Maybe that's your key, because very few people have 230,000 followers on social media. So clearly there's something about you that is attracting people. And maybe it's the transparency. Maybe it's the positivity. Maybe it's the realness. I don't know.
I'm just regular. I think people just, I don't know. Everyone just doesn't want to be, I don't know. I can't call it. I think I'm regular, but...
You're doing something. So we have some more questions?
Yeah, let's start to another question. And then can we have somebody kind of monitoring if any are coming in on our live? For our listeners, if you don't know, that for this episode, we decided to also go live on Instagram so that you guys can engage with us that way as well. Okay, so another question. How do you gain trust back in your relationship after the trust has been broken?
That's tough. That is tough. I think it goes from situation to situation. I don't think it always can be gained back. Some things that you just don't never recover from. So I think you gotta like, say a guy cheats on you, right? Just say you're in a relationship and your guy cheats on you, and now you spend the next couple years always on the fence, always feeling like you have to go through his phone, or, you know, you say you forgive him, you say you guys are moving on, but you're always like snooping around trying to see if he is still doing something. Like, you just always on the edge. To me, that's not recovering. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, sometimes you might have to just say, okay, the trust can be gotten back. Like, I can't get that back, so I need to move on. Because other than that, you're just going to spend the rest of your life wondering what he's doing now. You know what I mean? So I don't think the trust can always be gained back. I think it goes from situation to situation and person to person. Like, some people are great at just putting something behind them and moving on, and others never quite get over it.
Have you ever had your heart broken?
Everybody has. Absolutely.
Some people say they haven't.
I don't think I've got my heart broken in my recent years, though. I mean, like, in my adult years.
How old are you, if you don't mind me
asking? I'm 28.
28, okay. So you're still relatively young.
I felt like I was like 50 since I was like 15.
Okay.
You just have an old soul.
Yeah. So.
So what did you learn from your heartbreak?
That these bitches ain't shit. So, No, I'm joking. that was a perfect setup for that.
That was.
But what did I learn from my heartbreak? I learned that I'm going to be all right. Really. That's what I learned. I learned that I'm going to be all right. And I think I learned it all too well. Because I have a way of making people in my life feel like I'll be okay with or without them. And I know that's
good?
A terrible feeling.
I mean,
No. That's from them, that's a terrible feeling to have. Like, this.
They don't feel valued.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not saying I do that all the time, but I can. Like, you know what I mean? And I think it just comes with me being me and the stuff that I guess I've been through, which is what makes me the perfect person to tell people how to move on, because like, I'm great at it. Like, my rebound rate is like so good.
Do you think that's your defense mechanism, though? To like,
it could
you
be.
Know?
It could be. It could be. But like I said, that's what I learned from my heartbreak, that life moves on. Like, you're going to be fine. Like, you'll be okay whether you mourn over it, whether you cry over it for like 6 months or 3 weeks. You're going to be okay. That time period is up to you. Like, a lot of people have this notion that to get over something, they have to stay in the house and just
mope,
cry and mope, right? Mm-hmm. And all you're doing is putting yourself in a position where that's all you're going to think about. Mm-hmm. So your crying and moping period is just going to be longer because you're not interacting. You're not thinking about anything else but that situation. Sometimes you just got to get out the house, go to a party, meet some people, get some good vibes. You don't just got to sit in the house and cry about it, because you're going to be okay. Eventually, you're going to be okay. You're going to move. You just got to know, like, yo, I'm going to move on from this.
So talking about moving on and breaking up, another one of the questions is, does a man only realize that he lost a good thing once she finally moves on?
In most cases, sad to say, yeah. In most cases, is how it goes. Yeah, like, it just, I think that's everybody, though. When you see the person that you know you thought would never leave, like, really being loved and loving somebody else, that shit hurts. It's like, yo, I kind of want her back. So, yeah, I don't think it's only, but I think majority of the time, that's how it happens.
Do you believe in second chances?
Absolutely. I don't believe in 300 second chances, though. But I believe in second chances. So you gotta be careful how many second chances you give people, because you're at that point, you're training somebody on how to treat you, right? So, like, the first time they do something, that can be a mistake. The second time they do it is a choice, right? And the third time, now you have a pattern. So you're teaching people how to treat you, and you're telling them you're going to put up with anything, no matter how many times do you do it.
So people, they have that saying, it is people will only do what you allow them to do. Absolutely. To you, right? And I'm a strong believer in that. But then I also feel like sometimes you can't control someone else's behavior. Mm-hmm. You can't control their pattern. All you can do is walk away. Mm-hmm. But then that sometimes you develop like a, I guess, a defense mechanism, or your behavior, your culture becomes to always walk away mm-hmm. when someone does something to you that right. you don't like.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. Right. So I'm not saying you got to walk away every time. I'm not mm-hmm. saying like, oh, she was late to our date, I'm done with her. Like, even though I'm known to do stuff like that, which I really should stop.
Oh my gosh.
Nah, I'm just a really prompt person. But I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying definitely put a limit on how much you're going to take, or you're just going to be taking shit for the rest of your life. Like, that's just what it comes down to. Like, being a strong woman is not how much you can take. Part of being a strong woman is knowing when to walk away. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so everyone's been told, yo, you a down-ass chick if you stay through anything. No, you're also a dumb chick if you stay through anything.
Like, but you don't gotta you know think, like, in marriages, you know, as I said, like, there's growth, there's maturity.
Absolutely.
And men have probably mature a little slower than women do.
Yeah, but I also feel before you marry somebody, you kind of, you know what you're getting into, right? So they've at that point, hopefully, before you marry somebody, you know the patterns that they're going to have. You know they're not going to do certain things that you're not going to be able to live with. Like, you're not going to marry somebody who you're on the fence about, is he going to do this? Like, when you marry somebody, hopefully you've gotten a taste of what forever with this person is going to be like, hopefully.
Like, I agree. No, I agree. I've been married for 5 years, what was that, 2 weeks ago? And I knew exactly who my husband was by the time I married him, you know? And certain things you choose to deal with, certain things you ignore.
And that's what it's about, you know? And if you're willing to ignore the flaws that person has because the good outweighs it, mm-hmm. right? So, I think we're not searching for a perfect person. We're just searching somebody that we're ready to say, I'm ready to go through the storms with you because you're worth it. So, yeah.
How many men do you think are faithful in relationships?
Ooh, Sanjay. Oh,
that was a great question. I think I can't answer that, to be honest. I haven't taken a poll. I will say this though. I will say every man has the ability to be faithful to a woman. Now, It's a lot of bullshit out here. It's a lot of temptation. Social media doesn't make it any easier. But I think men can be faithful. I definitely think men can be faithful. I've been faithful in, I want to say, majority of my relationships.
Mm-hmm. Do you think majority of men are faithful in relationships?
You trying not to break the man code?
No. Or? It's not even that. It's just like, I don't know how to answer that question. I think I want to say no, but that's not to say that they're not faithful men out there. Like, I feel like men are faithful to the woman that they want to be with. Like, if you're still out there searching, you're not happy with who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if he's with the woman that he wants to be, which again, it goes back to me saying like how he behaves is going to tell you how he feels about you. So if he still like out there looking or whatever the case may be, then he either's not ready or he's not satisfied with what he has.
I think, like, you know, I have friends, I said, who are married and may not be chronic cheaters or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Or their relationships, they're not with their girlfriends, they're not chronic cheaters. They may have a one-off here and mm-hmm. there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Happen.
They're happy with their relationship, but you know.
Yeah, things happen. And I think that's when you have to make the call. Like I said, people can make mistakes. That doesn't mean, okay, yo, throw the whole husband away. And I'm not condoning taking people back when they cheat. But I'm saying people can make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to differentiate what was a mistake versus what was a decision.
I feel like one of the realest things you've said is, you know, people deserve second chances, but they don't necessarily need 3,000 chances. Right. Well, that may not have been exactly how you were. 300 second chances.
Yeah,
there you go. Right. I agree. I mean, nobody's saying that you just give up on the first try, but you don't have to play that fool either every time. Do you want to take some time to see what your comments are looking like over there? Are they going in?
They're going up. Like, I want to thank everybody who's tuned in. I can't read all y'all comments, but I'm going to save this live and I'm going to read them later. But we're gonna go to some of the questions, right?
Yeah, I have another question.
Yeah, okay. So we're still
okay. How to really move on. I've done the no contact, blocked number, and other things, which leads him to just pop up or start doing nice things again. Ooh. But how can you really move on when you still love them, but you know they are not the one?
That's tough. So I have this saying, right? You never really move on from somebody until you find somebody that you care for more. I feel like you gotta moving on is just means just that moving on to like you have to find somebody who you feel good about, and that's gonna ultimately take your attention away from what you know wasn't good for you to begin with. Now, if you're just sitting in the house again, like I said, people have this notion that to get over something or someone, they just sit in the house and isolate themselves. That's just leaving the door for them to still come in and fill that void of you being alone, because nobody really wants to be alone, right? So if the person you know and the person you're used to can come into your life because there's nobody else there, then essentially the door is kind of open. But once you move on and you're willing to start it, I guess...
dating again?
Yeah, dating again. It makes it easier for you to walk away from something that's no good for you.
What do you think, Sanjay? You've been in a lot of relationships.
Damn, Janine.
You've been in a lot of relationships.
You've been in a lot of relationships.
Well, damn, just how many have you been in?
I mean, she shares it.
No. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're in a relationship with someone. You know, get out of the relationship, and then it's not until someone else that comes along,
right.
You know, because it could be someone that you're dating that you're not really into, but you're still thinking about your ex. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not until you find someone else that really takes you in a whole different way,
and
makes
shows
you feel
yeah, exactly, and shows you that thing that you were looking for, and
yeah,
that feeling that you wanted.
Yeah, it fills that void, you know, that you had that your ex, you know,
wasn't cutting.
Yeah, and then you decide, you're like, okay, yeah, I can move on, and you really feel like I've moved past that person. And you feel like you could breathe again.
As long as he feel like, yo, she's still open for me to walk in and out, he's gonna try his hand.
He's gonna try his hand.
And that's funny because
I'm gonna give y'all another.
Go ahead.
Dudes are really good with stringing women on for some now and then sex, especially in this generation where we know that y'all love sex as much as we do. We're great at it. Like, we're great at just giving you enough just so when you want it, you're going to call us because you're comfortable. Like, we know when you're a woman will rather go back to a dude that she hates 90% of the time than catch another body. Like, if I'm comfortable with you, I'm going to keep having sex with you. And often that's what keeps you in a situation you don't want to be in, because you don't want to move on. It's like, I'm comfortable with him. I know him. I don't want to go catch another body, and it's not even worth it. He mess around and be just like this dude. I might as well stay with the devil you know is worse than the devil you don't.
You just answered another one of the questions. It was, why is it that we seek comfort from the same person that caused the pain?
Well, there you go.
So we'll move right on past that one. This one is kind of intense, and it made me a little sad when I read it. So I want to make sure that we read this one. It says, please answer. I just want to know why every time someone talks to me, they just stop, and it's like I need another one to get over the other one, and so I continue to be broken. I seriously don't know what to do. I fall in love so quick, and I always put my heart in. I don't know what I should do anymore. I need help. So it's still very.
Yeah, I read that one too, and it was sad. Yeah, that's the worst feeling. Like, when you think everything's going right, and then all of a sudden they just stop talking to you. I want to blame social media for this. It's made everyone so accessible. Everyone just feels like they can talk to anybody in the world. But I don't know. Only thing I can tell you is just try to not fall in love as fast. I mean, it's hard. Like, you really can't control catching feelings. Some people just catch feelings faster than others. But just try to just not get attached as fast, because if you're... And I'm not saying go into it thinking, oh, this shit is just going to fall off, so I'm not even going to try. But I'm just saying, don't invest all of you. Just take it as it is. Take it as it comes. And eventually something will come that'll be worth your while. Like, you can't give up on love. Like, that's love is the one thing. Like, you just, it doesn't matter how many times you fail. Once you got to know that one yes is coming. Like, you can't. If not, what are you living for? Like, nobody is about to, you can't give up on love. You know what I mean? Like, people are going to come and go. And like I said, it just goes back to knowing that you're going to be okay. Once you know you're going to be okay. And another thing I'm going to say, me personally, I never feel like, the reason I never, like, I'm in my feelings when somebody plays me. I get played. Like, somebody plays me is because I know who I am. I know I'm a catch. I know I'm a great person. So it doesn't matter who you are. Like, if you play me, I'm going to just feel like, oh, you're lost. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't get mad. Like, because when you know who you are, you can't get mad when somebody misses out on it. Because you just know, you got to know you the shit. You got to know, like, yo, all right. Yep. You just played yourself.
That was your dumb ass.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like, you really got to feel that way about yourself. And when you feel that way about yourself, when you know what you're worth, yo, it's no such thing as somebody playing you, because you're just going to feel like they played themselves. You're just going to be like, okay, all right, you're lost, buddy. That's it. That's all I can tell you. You just got to know it's their loss.
Okay. You ready for another one?
I'm ready.
This was actually really good.
Was it?
Are men really intimidated by a successful single mother? Financially stable, I make my own money, but I'm in my 40s. I've never in my life been in a healthy relationship. What the hell am I doing wrong? I attract the wrong men. The latest and married man that lied to me saying he wasn't. Of course, I'm lacking a companion.
I don't think men are intimidated by it. I don't think men are intimidated by it, especially in this day and age where, especially the older you get, it's like, what do they want? A chick who's not making her own money? Like, I don't understand.
Dependent. They want someone who's dependent on them.
Yeah. This might be one of those topics that you as a man can't understand. What do you think?
I don't want a chick who's dependent on me, though. Like, I like...
But some guys do.
A lot of guys do. A lot of men are intimidated by a woman that is successful and makes her own money.
I think that's... So, okay, again, I'm going to say it goes back to preference, right? Because I always say, just the same way women want a certain type of man, men want a certain type of woman, right? Everyone has their own preference. Me, personally, I think a woman who's successful is extremely attractive because, you know, she can motivate me, I can motivate her, we can just be great together. Now, I get that some men want a woman who's dependent on them in the traditional sense, but that's a tough one. Like, cause I don't understand why a man would be intimidated by a woman who's like on her shit. I don't have an answer. Like, I'm dumbfounded. I don't have an answer for that. I really don't. I don't want to make something up. I don't have an answer for that.
How would you feel dating a woman that made more than you?
I would feel inspired to...
Really?
Yeah. Like, listen, man. If everybody's going to be saying men and women are equal, then you just got to get used to the fact that your woman might make more than you at some point. Now, I'm not the type of man who's going to be like, oh, she makes more than me and just...
Be content.
Yeah, be content. Because me, whether she's there or not, I'm always trying to get to the next level of my career, right? So her making more than me, just, that's great. Like, that's, it doesn't bother me. Like, it doesn't bother me. I like people for people, not what they make. And if they make more than me, oh, now I don't, what, I'm just supposed to stop liking her if she makes more than me? Like, what happens? Do I fall out of love with that woman if she starts making more than me? Like, how does that work? So if I get with a woman and she wasn't making more than me, and then she gets a big pay raise and starts making more than me, what happens? Do you fall out of love with that person?
Well, it just becomes, sometimes it becomes complex for people, right? Which is kind of like a power struggle.
Okay. Right? Okay, I can get that. I mean, I've never been in that situation, so it's hard for me to speak on it. But yeah, I think as long as it's still like a respect thing and you guys are still talking to each other like partners, then I don't see what the problem is. I don't.
So it comes down to communication.
Yeah, well, everything comes down to communication. Everything like comes literally down to communication. Everything comes down to communication. So yeah, I don't see why that man would have a man. Listen, tell him pull his pants up, man up. That's all I can say. Like, pull your pants up, like
put your skirt down.
So like, I understand.
So another question is, what's the best way to deal with your ex that wants to be your friend after the relationship has ended?
What's the best way to deal with your ex that wants to be your friend? man, that's a good question, because I'm not like beefing with any of my exes. Like,
so you maintain friendships?
Yeah,
once the relationship is over.
I like friendship. People are cool. But the thing with me, I've dated like great women, like, right? So I feel like sometimes you meet great people who don't necessarily mean they need to be with you for the rest of their lives. Like, you know, everybody can be, like, you can meet somebody who's just an amazing person, but that doesn't mean y'all belong together. So, I think it can happen, it can work.
But don't you think sometimes that may be a conflict with your next relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But as long as they respect certain boundaries, like, I guess, not texting or calling past a certain time, and your current girl knows about your relationship with your now friend, who used to be
That's what I'm saying. Like, see how you put quote, quote, friends? So is it really ever going to be, like,
Yeah, I think it can. I think it can.
You think exes can be friends?
Yeah, I think exes can be friends.
You know what?
I really do, because I've done it. And it was a friendship.
I don't agree.
You know,
I don't think exes can be friends. I think that there is. I won't say that.
I don't think it's common.
True friends.
Yeah.
I think that the relationship. I mean, the friendship has to be like a distant.
Yeah.
You can't
I agree
be
that.
Best friends with
I
an
agree
ex.
With you. I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. It's not like we're gonna see each other every day. And
right.
Yeah. No. But So I take that back. Then I feel like y'all can be cool. Y'all can maintain a relationship.
Okay.
A healthy relationship, but not like I'm going to go to the movies with my ex, who is now my new BFF. Like, all right, whoa.
It's a little side
eye. Whoa. But I think you guys can be cordial. You got to be beefy.
I have several girlfriends, and I know several people in my life that aren't even friends, that have been in long-term dating relationships. And 9 out of 10, the woman is ready to get married, right?
What do you mean dating?
Like, mean they've been dating for years. They're just dating. They're together, but they're dating, right? They're not married.
Okay.
And they're waiting for the guy to finally propose.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions that came in, and I said, you know, that's a great question. I know a lot of people that want the answer, is how long should you actually wait for the ring before you walk away?
I don't know how long she waited for the ring. I don't think she waited a decade for it, though, I'll tell you that. But I'm trying to, like, that's a tough question.
Because you keep saying, I don't know. We need to have the answers.
That's a tough question, though. Like, how long should you wait? Like, it varies. Like, say you meet somebody in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You might wait 10 years before you get a ring, because nobody is ready, like, right after. Well, most people aren't ready at 16. He might not get ready till his late 20s. So you're going to wait a decade.
She ain't talking about those. She's talking about grown women.
Okay, versus you meet somebody when you're 26, 27. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think you need to wait, like, five years is okay. I don't think you need to wait, like, 8, you know, years to a decade. I think if what y'all waiting on, like, if y'all of age and your careers are good, What are you waiting for?
So you think the person there should be a time limit of about 5 to 6 years if you're in your late 20s?
Dudes, when a dude is with a girl, he knows if he wants to spend the rest of his life with her.
I agree with that.
He knows that. Like, he knows, just like she knows. Like, we know within the first year, like, yo, she might be. We telling our friends, yo, she might be the one. So I don't understand what waiting. I don't think she'd be like a 6-year wait period. Because the only thing that you're waiting for is to be, I guess, where you want to be with your career, maybe. But I don't think people should just be dragging people along for 8 years. You know, like, if you weren't ready, leave her alone, because she might meet somebody next year who's ready the year after. You know what I mean? So I don't think you should just take up people's time. That's selfish to me.
So what's your type of girl? That you look, what are the qualities?
I don't have a type.
You don't have a type. No type.
I thought I had a type, but I really don't.
What was the type that you thought you had? What was that?
I thought I liked girls that were like just like a female version of me.
Which is?
Into fashion.
Okay.
You know, just a female version of me. But I don't. I like all types of women. I like simple women. I like sophisticated women. The one thing that they all have in common, though, is, like, I like a woman who's well-spoken, because I love to, you know, I'm big on communication. I like to debate a lot. So I like a woman who can get a point across, well-spoken, polished woman. I don't like a woman who's too obnoxious. But yeah, I like all types of women. I think women are just beautiful. I love women. I think y'all are just the best creations. So, yeah.
Huh. You know, you're giving some good answers here. I must say, before we started, I was like, no way can this man speak for a woman. No way. Not possible. But I feel like to a lot of the questions we've been asking, you've had some good insight. So
As I should.
Tell people about your book, where they could find it.
Yeah, my book, What She Feels and What She Still Feels, you can find it on my website, poeticstyle.bigcartel.com. The link is also on my bio if you don't want to go type that in or remember that.
And are you doing a book signing? Where are you?
Child. I'm working on that. I'm working on a lot of things where I can meet some people. Or maybe do like a 5-city tour or something and have a couple shows, a couple books. I think it's way past due. And so
I think it needs to be like a TP and Poetic Styles.
I agree.
You know,
word on the street. Word on the street is your books fly off the shelves quick.
Yeah,
you can't keep them in stock.
You know. So, you know. But yeah, you know, that just means I'm inspiring a lot of people, which is a blessing.
Great.
I agree. Well, thank you. It's been great having you with us today.
It's been great chatting with you lovely ladies today.
And also, guys, if you feel like you didn't get a lot of your questions answered or you have more, feel free to send them in. And now that we have this wonderful relationship, we'll send them over to him and see if we can get some answers.
Yeah. So keep them questions coming and all of that. Make sure you tune in next Tuesday for my next poem.
Ooh.
So we drop one every Tuesday.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. You know, 8 o'clock is my time. Nobody drop nothing on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. Don't drop nothing on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. Take over Instagram at 8 o'clock.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Good night, guys.